All right, perfect. All right, since I am after lunch, I am supposed to be dynamic. I need everyone to stand up real quick. Come on. That's even you, Mr. Patterson. All right, now, you know, do a little bit of twist. Do a little bit, you know, get a little blood flowing. All right, no one's twisting, but that's all right. You know, get a little bit. All right, now I just need you to start clapping. Just start clapping. Okay, now keep clapping. Keep clapping, yep. Perfect, perfect. I got something to show my boss. I can go home. We're all good. We're all good. No, I am glad to be here. Hopefully, I can keep you entertained here for the next 30 minutes, and the remainder of this session can do the same as well. My name is Ethan Oberst. I do work for Cattle Facts. Some of you are familiar. Some may not be. We are a membership-based company located in Denver. We do a multitude of different things. Mainly, our main focus would be risk management for all segments of the cattle industry. So that is a little bit of our background. My background, I did grow up in the Midwest. I came out here, started at the University of Wyoming. I did graduate with an animal science degree as well as focus in business. I worked on several large operations, cow-calf stock operations, Nebraska, Wyoming, Colorado. And then I did attend and complete the Texas Christian University's ranch management program. And then I started at Cattle Facts shortly after that. At Cattle Facts, I cover all the northern plains, so basically everything north of I-70 from the Great Lakes west for our cow-calf and stock operators, and now also I cover all the states that have the Rocky Mountains in it or west of the Rocky Mountains. I also cover Nebraska feed yard cash trade, as well as a multitude of other small tasks, mainly in the unattached markets, calves, bred females, bred stock, along those lines, as well as the business side of the cow-calf operation. So enough about me. I got my video. You guys can tune out from now on. So I did want to start with a little bit of the cattle cycle. Obviously, this does not have prices on it, but it doesn't need to necessarily. You can see basically from valley to valley or peak to peak, it's about 7 to 12 years. If we want to make that a nice even number, let's just call it 10 years. The cattle cycle is about 10 years long from valley to valley or peak to peak. Here looking at this, most of you are seeing that 2003 to 2013 peak to peak there. A lot of that did change with the drought in the southern plains. I do believe that the cattle cycle is still in effect. Obviously, we've seen that occur here over the last several years as well. We just got it stretched out a little bit, changed a little bit with the severity of the drought in the southern plains, really changed that overall complexion of the cattle cycle. This is from the University of Wyoming. I think this is about the only place where I use this slide. Probably somebody here probably made it. So whoever did make it, I do appreciate it. But this is kind of the short-term, or I shouldn't say short-term, but a more expanded view of the cattle cycle. The green is cattle prices, the red is harvest numbers, and then the blue is cow inventory, how they're labeled there. You can see, I don't know if, do I have a pointer? You can see right here, we're somewhere probably in this area right here. I would say the cattle harvest numbers are obviously climbing and going to climb. We do not believe that we are done expanding quite yet. I have a slide in here later that will show that. We are not done with expansion. Obviously, cattle prices are behind us. Market emotions, since this is strictly, on risk management of cow-calf and stocker operators, this is the emotional scale that most of us go through that are, dealt with cattle markets of any kind, whether it's calf market, fed cattle market, even on the beef side of things, anything. This is our, even in the stock market, maybe some of your 401ks, you've done this as well. So this is definitely something we deal with every day. And you can see, I just kind of want to put this up there to put it into perspective, what the emotions are. And once you kind of start to understand those emotions, it's a little bit easier to deal with them as well. Getting back into some bigger picture standpoint, commodities in general typically go back to their break-even values. Now, do we have to get necessarily that cheap on a calf, break-even of, $1, $1.15, $1.10, somewhere in there, which is the current, average calf break-even values on a 550-pound steer? Probably not, but they have obviously trended that way. We do not have, you know, the calf market up here, but obviously this is all on the futures market and all different types of commodities. You can see the breaks that we've had here from their market highs, and most of these have been recent market highs, or at least in this decade. And you can see the amount of break that they've had. You can see here on live cattle and feeder cattle back in, you know, we've had basically a 50% break on that, you know, as long as you're not in the oil business of, you know, having 80% break. This is the average cow-calf profit and loss. Now, I don't want you to take the absolute values to heart here. You know, just look at the magnitude of each year relative, or, you know, other than, you know, making a $500 relative to a $400 profit. Look at the magnitude. Now, obviously, this year, we actually are going to have a better 2017 than we had a 2016 by all standards. I know it is even on here. But, you know, this chart so far, we've been through enough this year to realize that we're going to have better profitability in 2017 than we did in 2016. But I think the main part, from 1980 to 2000, we're basically at a profit loss of $2 a head. That's a break-even level. That's not necessarily a sustainable business. But as you can see here in the last two decades, we've had a much better run. That is obviously going to change here a little bit as we go forward with increasing in cow numbers, decreasing in cattle prices. So how do we manage that? Obviously, we've all heard or seen things about high volatility, aggressive volatility in all calf market or all markets and the calf markets as well. And a lot of questions is where do I start? What should I follow? And what tools should I consider using? And we'll try to answer some of those questions as we go forward here. I think the main thing, one of the main things we can do as cow-calf operators is managing your inventory. This is something that we don't necessarily always get into. We always are worried about price and not necessarily inventory. I would say some of the best feedlot operations that manage their risk throughout these volatile time frames manage their inventory as much as they do manage their risk on individual pens of cattle or anything else. And I think that's something we can definitely do. Albeit it's a lot harder on the cow-calf level, but it is something that we can do as ranchers as well. This is the number of 550-pound steers it takes to pay for one bred animal on an annual basis. On the long-term average, you can see it's about a 1.5 steer calves it takes to pay for a bred animal. You can see here where we are in 2017, where we were in 2016. And you can kind of see this is a little bit of an indicator of expansion and contraction levels as well. In the late 80s, most people in here probably remember the late 80s. I, for one, do not. But you can see there that was a mass liquidation standpoint. We all know what kind of shape the agricultural industry was in during that time frame. Fast forward to the last several years, you can see how aggressive or how many calves it takes to pay for one of those. So what the point of the slide is we have to manage that inventory. Now, is the last, 2014, 2015, 2016 the best time to go out and buy a bunch of bred animals? Probably not. Has it worked out for you? Yeah, it probably has for right now. But I would say right now, manage your inventory, going out and getting very aggressive in 2017 because your profits are great in 2017 doesn't necessarily mean that those cows are going to get themselves paid for, especially if we do turn into a dry situation here weather-wise as we go forward. This is basically the same chart, same situation. What I did was I looked at expansion type levels, 1.4 times. The orange is stabilization, and the green, liquidation is in the red, stabilization is in the orange, and then green is expansion type levels. So what I did is put a value of 550-pound calf on the left-hand side in dollars per hundredweight, and what that means on what those calves or those cows are worth on a dollars per head standpoint. So you can see kind of line up. I'm sure there's plenty of you that have bought cows here or sold your calves here that are making the correlation here. What I'm trying to say is manage your inventory. It doesn't mean that you have to get, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't go out there and continue to expand. The profitability is good, but what I want to get across is to make sure that you understand that the animal you buy today has to get paid off over the next 6 to 7 years, the next 6 to 7 calves. So what does the calf market look like then over the next several, half decade to decade? This is the average bred cow price. You can see how aggressive we got there in 2014, 2015. And then we actually saw a higher bred cow price in 2017. And then we did in 2016. And obviously with a lower overall cattle market, I know calves sold better in 2017. So what we've done here at Cattle Facts is come up with three cardinal rules. Some may be familiar with the three cardinal rules of the fed cattle industry or cattle feeding industry, but what we've done here is these cardinal rules are the stock the segments above me profitable. That can be the retailer, the packer, the feed yard, the stocker operator, whatever operation or level or segment is above you, are they profitable? That's the number one question you should answer. The number two are the cattle and competing proteins. That's something we have to definitely keep in mind, is the competing proteins definitely plays a role in the beef industry. Are those numbers expanding or contracting or stabilization is another factor. And then the deferred futures at a premium or discount. We'll get into that. That may be a little bit deeper than what we have time for here today, but I will touch on that because it is an important factor, and we obviously went through that here just recently. So are the segments above me or after me profitable? This is a diagram of all the different segments. We go cow, calf, stocker, feedlot, and packer. You can see the different colors there and the profitability. I really want to focus in on 2017. Everything other than green. We look at the blue, the stocker, we look at the feedlot and the packer. They're all profitable. That's why we've had some of the greatest demand or the largest demand that we've seen for calves here the last several years, or several months, I should say. So that's why we had a good summer, and that's why we had an even better fall here, because all the segments above us were profitable. They won more and more of those calves. They won more and more of those stockers to put in their yard or run through their packing plant. That is a large factor. And we can go back to 2015, and it was quite the opposite. We saw calf values decline rather aggressively, and the two segments above cow-calf producers, the stockers and the feedlots, were both in negative profits. And I just kind of want to break these out. This is a summer grazing profitability. This is on a 750-pound animal coming off of grass. I understand that nobody finishes or takes a 750-pound animal off of grass. You're probably putting 750 pounds on grass nowadays. But just to keep the model the same, you can see here, some of those years and some of those years that we had a really good calf demand line up with the years that we've had great grass stocker cattle profitability. Same with winter grazing programs. Once again, one of the reasons why we've had great demand for calves here, the projected profitabilities for calves bought here the last several months for winter grazing has been fantastic. Looking at feeder cattle futures in the 150s, touching 160 there in the spring contracts, that really creates a lot of incentive for the winter grazing guys to go out there and get a lot of calves bought and pay more for them. Oh, I think this got cut off. This is the feed yard or feedlot profitability. I apologize for getting cut off. I must have made it too big there. But you can see year to date, $225 per head for all the cattle that have gone through a feed yard this year. I roughly believe it's about $4.3 billion in equity increase this year alone, which would be about the largest equity that we ever seen in 1 year. Increase in 2015, we lost about $4.3 billion. So you can see the volatility on their end. We'll make more money this year on the feed yard side of things than what we did in 2014 in that aggressive of a market. This is the weekly cash 550-pound steer price as a percentage of the all-fresh retail price. So what I wanted to highlight with this graph is basically the situation between a 550-pound calf and a retail price. You can see here basically that the long-term average is right there, about above 32%. It's about 32.5%, I believe. And you can see here the areas that are well below that line and some more highlighted. And then 2015 obviously is one of the most extreme. You can see there that's when the calves were basically undervalued relative to retail price. And you can see after every one of those situations, we've rebounded. And you can see that it gets back to long-term average. So once again, it matters if the retailer is making money and is profitable. That money does come down the line, throughout the different segments. Same with the composite cutout or boxed beef, however you want to say that. It's very much the same. You can see the numbers, the percentage is a little bit different, but also the same. You can see there's a little bit different ratio during certain situations. That is because some of that profitability gets lost in different segments. Some of this profitability could be absorbed by the packers. Some of this profitability could be absorbed by the feedlot and stocker operators and so on and so forth. So are the segment or the cattle or competing proteins expanding or contracting? This is the graph I alluded to earlier. In 2017, we added about 1.1 million, 1.05 million cows. 2018, we anticipate about 700,000 increase here. That would be January 1st here in about a month. Just a month now, I guess. And then in 2019, we anticipate another 200,000. Now, obviously, we've had a little bit of kickback on our 2020 number, and we would totally agree. It could be up 200,000, it could be down 100,000. We don't quite know. As long as it continues to rain, as long as cow-calf operators continue to be profitable, we do believe that we'll continue to expand. We do think we'll meet a little bit of resistance in there at that 32.5 million level. You kind of extend this chart back a little bit. You look at some of the situations we've done on our available grazing over the last several decades, and we also reduced that through recreation, through oil, through urban sprawl, all of the above. That 32.5 million looks like a pretty good mark for us to hit during this expansion. This is the commercial beef production in billions of pounds. That includes all of coal cows, that includes fed cattle, that includes everything that's beef that gets produced in 1 year. So as you can see here, we are going to be record production, so that obviously will weigh on the overall beef market. We go to pork and poultry. You can see here we've continued to expand on the pork and poultry side of things. Obviously, pork is a very aggressive expansion levels and continue to expand. We've really grown that every year for a long time, and we'll continue to grow that that level of production. Poultry obviously has grown as well as it's become more popular with the retailer. So the deferred futures, a premium or discount. This is obviously something that's a little bit hard for someone to understand. That's fine. It took me a little while to understand it as well. This is the February live cattle basis. So we take the current cash market relative to the February live cattle contract. This is on a percentage basis, but this is basically what tells us the average basis or 100% all the way across would be basically cash and futures or even. And then anything above that is a premium in the cash market. Anything below that is a premium in the futures market. And why I highlighted this is you can see right here, the beginning of August, we transitioned. Basically from we transitioned all the way, but really transitioned, made a large transition right there at the beginning of August. And that really changed the way the cattle feeders and stock operators approached calves. When you get a premium in the back end of the board, like this is on February live cattle, especially in August, it's very back end of the board, you get a premium that adds incentive for feedlots and stock operators to go out there and buy more cattle, be more aggressive, and pay more for cattle. This is one of the reasons why we saw a stronger calf market in October and November of this year. Obviously, the fed cattle market was rallying as well, but this is one of the reasons why we continue to see that calf market continue to gain strength when it typically does not gain strength through that time frame. This is one of the reasons why. We saw incentive for anybody that was buying a calf to go out there and buy a calf, place it in a feed yard, or forward contract it even, in order to capture some of that available profitability in the back end of the board. And if you have any questions, I can definitely answer questions specifically about this afterwards as well. I did include the January feeder cattle basis, not as much of a move, because obviously feeder cattle, a little bit different of a contract situation or the cash settled market. But I did want to show that you can see a kind of a weakening of the basis all the way through there as well. Greed and fear drive markets. This is the September of 2016 feeder cattle contract. You can see how many opportunities there were on this contract before expiration to manage risk on your feeder cattle. Back here, in December of 2015, we hit basically a high of 164.75. And then it took us all the way back until February to get to 162. And I can tell you right now, there are people that says, no, I'm not going to hedge my September feeder cattle in December. Yeah, seasonality would not suggest that. But in a downtrending market, it would suggest that there's probably more risk to this market as we continue to grow supplies, continue to add more cattle to the mix. And right here, you can see this was a great opportunity to hedge cattle relative to the rest of the contract. You know, then you get back up in here and you say, well, once it gets to 164, I'll hedge them again. You know, that's a little bit of the greed factor. So we missed out, or some people missed out, on $2 a hundredweight in order to not hedge cattle right there. So then you come off that and have a couple limit down days, and then basically we have a 154 high, and then a 150 high, and then we eventually end the contract right there. I believe that is in the 130s. So you can see there was plenty of opportunities, and that's what greed can definitely get you. I obviously, I understand. I want to be the top of the calf market. I want to be the top of the stocker market. But at the same time, if we're talking about managing risk, it's different than getting the best price. There were plenty of opportunities. There's plenty of profitability all out in this section. I mean, you can make a big circle around that area right there. Yeah, maybe it wasn't the top of the cattle market. It wasn't maybe you would have lost out as we went in September as the seasonality continues to increase typically. But there was great opportunity there, and a good risk manager, not a good, overall price getter, was what I should say. They would go ahead and lay off some of that risk and some of those cattle right there and take advantage of the opportunity. Getting into a little bit of marketing calves, I think the main part of this slide here, I believe I only have a couple minutes left, is know your break even. And then I think there's a number of people I talk to that don't know the break even on their calves is increasingly frustrating. There's a lot of people out there that I ask, well, is that a good price? Is there good profitability at that? And they come back with, I don't know what it costs me to produce this 550-pound calf. I'll be honest with you, as a risk manager, as what I do every day, at that point, I cannot help you anymore. You have to know your break even. You have to know what it is, your cost of production, in order to get to that point. Seasonality, I did want to throw these up. I'll go through them a little bit fast. This is a fed cattle seasonality. This is one of the reasons why you see some of the feeder cattle markets do what they do, and I'll get into a little bit more of that here in the feeder cattle. This is the calf and then the feeder cattle. I want to highlight the feeder cattle. June, July, August, you have cattle coming off of grass. When do those cattle finish? They finish against that November, December, and January. And this is index, so January is still better, usually better price than what you are in that fall time frame. So they finish against those months. That's one of the reasons why you see such a strong market during this time period. Obviously, a little bit, higher quality cattle coming off of grass will do very well in a feed yard as well. Some of those things. Here, these winter grazing cattle, February through May, those cattle finish against this, let's just say this July, August, September mark right here. This is a little bit misleading because typically our spring is higher than our fall, but that's how strong 2014 actually was. Actually changed these 20-year indexes. But those feeder cattle that come off of grass or come off of winter grazing finish right in here, typically the lower the market. That's one of the reasons why you have to know your seasonalities. This is the video sale or forward contract versus the cash price of 550-pound steer. This is the video sales. It says summer, which I believe I mean May, June, and July, versus the cash price in October, November, for calves that are sold in the video sales for October and November delivery. You can see here the black lines are the video sales. You can see in here. Then the red lines are the cash price. Now, I believe there's only 3 years out of the last, nine here that have had larger prices or even prices than the year prior, or than selling the summer video sales. And you can see 2017 is one of those. That's actually going to end up higher here as they enter November's data into that. Some instances we saw calves sell for $40 a hundredweight better this fall than what we did last fall, and then $10 to $20 a hundredweight better than what the summer video sales would bring. However, if we're managing our risk instead of getting the highest price, it would make sense to sell during these summer video sales. You can see most of these years, especially 2015, 2016, and then 9 through 2012, you can see that it makes more dollars per head here value. This what this chart sells is sell during the summer video sales. It's a little bit different situation on the feeder cattle. Obviously, we looked at the seasonality of that. The June, July, August is the peak of the feeder cattle sales. You're not going to sell in a summer video sale much better than what you're going to get selling on the cash market. That's what that seasonality would show. And you can see here, most of these bars are pretty even all the way through. This is something else, a little bit back to managing inventory. I really want to focus on the first point. I think this is something that definitely, as we're not on the front of our minds with the way the rain situation has been, the grass situation has been recently, but do we have to stock our entire ranch in cows? I think that's something that we can definitely look at. If we don't, there's a lot more flexibility during dry years, and during wet years, there's a lot more opportunity for profitability on those by stocking it with feeder cattle on grass or stocker cattle, however you want to say that. So that's one of the points I want to make with this chart, is that very first item. About out of time here. I did want to touch on utility cow price. This is one of the best seasonals, the most consistent seasonals that we're going to see. You can see here the index is basically you put a high in sometime between March and June, March and May, and you put your low in typically in October, November. The index would suggest it's the third week of November. We're obviously looks like our low is probably behind us now. Occurred about there middle of October. And then this is a model that we run every year. Basically, I wanted you to focus here on the bottom part, this advantage. 25 out of the last 32 years, it's had an economic advantage in order to hold those coal cows until the following, let's just say, February here. You can hold them a little bit longer maybe if they're a little bit thinner. You can sell them a little bit shorter. But typically, what I want to try to express is managing risk in your coal cows is something that we can do to put a little bit more money in our pocket. And selling them during October, November is not the best way. There are many more other options that we can do. Usually for ranches, typically the easiest is to run those cows a little bit longer, turn around. We have plenty of feed, I would assume, in most of the country, most of you guys represent. There is plenty of feed available, and that obviously brings a premium as we get into that February time frame. This is just some of the things I talked about, some of the options, obviously seasonals, it's the easiest form of risk management, 80% of the time, 8 out of every 10 years. If we just follow the seasonal, whether it's selling calves early, selling feeders when they come off grass, some along those lines, it usually works out for us. For contract video, we talked about that, retaining ownership, talked a little bit about that on the cow side of things. Obviously, you can do that with your calves as well. Basis contract, those are hard to get anymore, but if you can, that is something that we can definitely do, lock in that basis and then use the futures and to price those cattle. We can hedge those calves as well. It's not as actually a popular option. Options, puts and calls, and then livestock risk protection program. And then this is just some of the take-home thoughts that I want to leave you with. Am I out of time then? I'll let you guys read those. They will be available, I believe, on, I don't know what the website is, but they will be available. I do want to leave you, my email is here at the bottom. If you have any questions, please email me. Really, I'm very generous with taking time to answer those. And if you have any questions about what you saw here, maybe you want to see something different, please email me. And I think for our membership costs, I think there's a lot of opportunities to all of you that can take advantage of me. I know some of you are members, and I do recognize some faces and names out there. So I appreciate your business. And if you do need some more help with this, I cover every state that is represented here. So I would be your representative, your analyst. So please, if you have any questions, look to membership, please feel free to reach out to me. So I want to thank you guys for the opportunity, and have a good rest of your afternoon. If you have any questions, I will be in the back for a little while as well.